Deep in the heart of the capital city, live from the Grand Tire Studios at 44th and O, we switch on the blinding neon glow that bears their name. Jack Mitchell and Dave Miller. It's KLIN's Jack and Dave in the Morning.
Everybody, welcome back. Jack and Dave in the Morning on Lincoln's News and Talk, 1400 KLIN. 2 below right now, 15 below wind chill in the capital city. And we are glad to have you back with us. We're going through a lot of important news topics today and continue to do that on KLIN throughout the day. But now it's time to go in a little bit of a different direction for a few minutes. Jason Peterson, Turbine Digital, our tech and gadgets guru, joining us here in studio today. And when he walked in, I don't know if I've experienced this before.
I don't think I have either.
It's pretty warm and toasty in here. You know, we probably got it 73, 74 degrees in the studio. Jason walks in, having been inside for maybe 30 seconds inside the building. I actually felt the cold air emanating off of him. I'm serious.
I brought it in with me.
Across the room. That was something. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, other than just being freezing, but it's awesome.
Cold
doing good.
There? All right, good. Okay, so let's start this one out. Since so many people are checking weather apps right now, and if we ever get one of these deals where you've got a snowstorm coming up, I'm curious, and we can even go around the table as well, what's your favorite mobile weather app to use on your phone? What would you recommend?
I think my default is weather.com. That's going to be mine that I use.
That's a weather channel.
Yeah, the weather channels, yes. So that one is, I use things that complement that, but as far as just the nitty-gritty stuff, detailed percentages of things happening, that's where I go. I go to the weather.
How about you?
Weather channel.
You know, I don't mind at all the app that's already built into the phone for Apple. It's okay. It's okay. But I end up going to weather.com all the time. But I have to say, too, locally, when I want to see radar and stuff like that, KLKNTV.com's news app gets you to local radar and their forecast pages right from that site. It's pretty decent, too.
So. I go back and forth, and I don't know if you guys have both of these or not, but I really go back and forth between Weather Channel and AccuWeather. And the two of them, it's interesting, if you've tracked how the two of them have redesigned their app over the last year and a half, they keep kind of becoming more and more similar.
Yeah, they keep trying to one-up each other with graphics, too.
But then, you know, they now both have this thing where they've got kind of a circular deal on the top of, they both have a circle on the top. And then it's got kind of an hourly forecast right on the top. I can't tell which I like better. I really go back and forth. I go to AccuWeather, I think, a little bit more.
Do you really? Wow.
Because they've got that real feel thing, which
they've got this thing.
Which I always kind of like. Not so much in the winter, but in the, you know, you can tell what it really feels like outside. So I like to use that one. But in terms of radar, I've got one, and it was a pay app, but it was one of those that I got free through that app gratis thing that I've talked about before. You get this email service, and it'll email you a free deal. It'll search at APPGRATIS. But mine is called My Radar, and it's great. I mean, it's been perfect for what I need.
I use that one too.
You got My Radar too?
Yeah, I've got My Radar also. I
think it's $2.99 regular or something.
It's just a basic one, but that's just another
one. Dave's got a fancy one, I think.
I can't say enough great things about them. And I've actually sent them suggestions before via email that they've actually incorporated into the app. They follow me on Twitter, Radar Scope.
That makes me want to use it less if they're using you as like their top advisor.
I wasn't wrong about the windshield, was I? I'm not their top advisor, by the way. Really? I'm just one of many brilliant.
What's it called?
It's called Radar Scope.
Radar Scope.
And it lets you look at different levels of precipitation. And it's closer to being a meteorological tool than it is something that the average person would just, it's raining. Right. You know what I mean? But I like that, especially in the case of severe weather, which we use a lot around here. I really like the Radar Scope app.
All right, well, there you go. I'm just kind of curious.
Which is available on Android, by the way, for about 9 months now. Originally, it wasn't. It was only an Apple product. But, you can get that on Android as well. So
some of the other ones that I think people, Yahoo Weather, I know there's a lot of people who use them. Dark Sky is a paid app I've heard about that people like quite a bit. Weather Underground is another one that I've heard.
Yep, Weather Underground.
Gets pretty decent scores. So there you go, some options if you're trying to track exactly how cold it is today. All right, well, what else is going on? You know, it's an interesting time, Jason, because the Consumer Electronics Show is going on always this first week we get back, and we're hearing so much about the trends for 2015. And it's interesting because so many times in the past, you know, a year or two ago, it was about, you know, Google Glass and wearable technology and those sorts of things. And then it was about 3D TVs in the past. It seems like a lot of the last year, some of the things that were primed to be the big thing are falling away pretty quickly. Am I wrong about that?
Well, I think that, you know, people keep trying to push gadgets. And I think what's happening is there's a desire for the maturity of how these gadgets work within, you know, ourselves and just our lifestyle and stuff. So this connectiveness is kind of what I've heard is sort of the theme. And I've been reading about just as a much better, I don't know, a driver of what people are looking for, of how this technology is going to really benefit us.
So having your house, your car, your office, everything plugged into your phone and controlled by your phone. That's correct. Really the big deal. And the other big deal at CES is drones. There are just a ton of drones. Mind-controlled drones, smaller drones, affordable drones, not affordable drones, drones aplenty. There's just lots of them.
Are they going to be everywhere? I mean, are we going to look in the sky every...
I think 5 years from now...
A year or two from now, and they'll be everywhere?
I think the regulations on those are going to be pretty heavy-handed here the next 3-4 years. They're going to have to come up
with... For what purpose, though? Just getting video? I mean, is that what the...
You're going to be looking at privacy, security, all sorts of stuff.
No, but what's the purpose of flying them? I mean, is...
They're fun. They're helicopters. I mean, come on. What's not fun about
it? The cool videos are great. I love those. I just wonder if they'll eventually be kind of a point of diminishing returns on all of those, getting all of those videos, or if it'll be about something else, the reason why people are putting them in the sky.
Yeah, but when Amazon and other places start putting them in the sky to deliver stuff, you're going to think differently about how those affect your life. You may not fly one yourself, but you may be expecting one to drop a package off at your place or a letter or something from work.
Right, yeah. The connected home was a big thing from what I saw at CES. Yep. And that makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, things like keeping your doors locked, controlling your thermostat. I mean, that's, I think everybody will have a thermostat that's controlled by a mobile device in a few years, however many years it is. I don't think that's something that's going away.
Well, I think the smart home, all the parts of a home that are inefficient, whether it's heating and cooling, like you said, the security aspect of a home, just all that stuff. Like, there's been isolated ways of those things that are being addressed, but I think the whole idea is making these things work together. That's going to be the part where as companies either work together or companies consolidate those kinds of services, again, that's where you're going to start to see that traction being gained.
You know, my biggest concern with that, though, is, and maybe it's because I lived so long before this became so easy, but I'd kind of like to have an analog backup for some of this stuff. You know, the power went off at our house, and immediately you have no connection to the internet unless you got a phone. And if your phone isn't charged, you're doomed. And the power is only off for 20 minutes, but all of a sudden, you start panicking because I can't get to Netflix. I can't control my thermostat. I can't control my doors. Now what? What do you do?
That's a great question. I would assume there would have to be, because like you said, there's a
door locks. You can always go to the door lock.
A likely probability that, you know, there's going to have to be something. There'll probably be some sort of backup generator or something like that. I don't know. I mean, something that, you know, homes are installed with, it has to be able to have some sort of ability to have secondary power if that would go out.
See, that stuff kind of excites me. That seems like is something where there's a lot of innovation. It's ripe for a lot of innovation. And then they talk about the connected car, which I don't. I see the things that they're talking about, and I don't get as excited about
it. I don't
them.
Either. I mean, I don't either.
There's a few things that I think are useful, but they're probably already out there. But then they talk about, you know, like the ability to shop, you know, on Amazon from your car, or, you know, the graphics. I guess are putting graphics up on the windshield and stuff.
Now
that
that I like a lot. Kind of a heads up display while you're driving, and there are companies that do that already. Some of them do it with a strip of plastic that goes along the. I kind of like that. I mean, you're already looking at GPS and your all of your gauges and stuff below that level anyway. What if it was all there in one place in a straight line and you knew where to look for it? I don't think that would be distracting at all. I think it'd be very helpful.
And that's fine. And the ones that go toward eliminating driver distraction, I'm all for those.
Yeah.
But I just don't. Most of them are either distract more or just things that just seem
But if it's going to project SpongeBob cartoons and what the current temperature is, I'm not interested.
Right.
You know?
Right. You know, for instance, I saw this one. Imagine if your car's dashboard had graphics as good as a video game system. That's what the new chip unveiled by NVIDIA is supposed to do this weekend. Then it can be used in both tablets and cars. It can help with assisted driving, both to avoid crashes and potentially for fully automated driving. So that sounds interesting. But a lot of the other stuff, you know,
yeah.
I don't need a
ticket or leave it.
But like a projection type GPS on your windshield, I don't have a problem with that. If you can still see to drive, go for it.
I don't know if that works or not. Yeah, I know that's
well, they're working
happening.
On it. Yeah, and they've got scaled down versions of it, but I think that's probably the next thing.
One of the other big stories out of CES is the 4K TVs and the 4D TVs and
right.
The price coming down on those.
Still not affordable to the average bear, I wouldn't think. But.
3D TV is done, evidently.
Yes.
I mean, don't you remember? I think we were even having you in here still when 3D TVs with everything out there. And, man, they're gone now.
But I used to have relatives that would ask me, should I get a 3D TV? And I said, you know what? I'd wait a year just to see if the price would come down, number one. But you'll know within a year whether or not this is going to be the next new thing. And it's not. And I have the same people doing that with 4K.
By the way, and it is 4K. I call it 4D. 4K. It's a TV that stretches 4,000 pixels wide. So the resolution is better than 1080p. Now, I want to see it to tell if I can tell the difference.
I want to see it, too, because I've got a couple movies I can watch on Blu-ray on a plasma TV that look like you're right there, so I don't know how much better. But it's kind of like the cameras that they're putting on phones now. They say, well, the you know, like Apple's resolution on their phone and their displays, the Retina display is better than the last version. Well, I can't tell the difference, not with the naked eye.
No, I know. That's that point. Yeah, we've talked about that. Absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to go through a few of those things. I mean, is there anything else, Jason, that I'm missing that you think? I mean, of course, wearable, not in terms of the Google Glass, but the watches and the fitness, I'm sure, are still a big thing. That seemed to be kind of a big deal over the holiday season. And Apple Watch is going to be coming out, too. So I presume that's nothing. Anything else that I'm missing?
I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, the there was that virtual reality stuff. That was
another one
that was coming out of CES. That, you know, it's always been kind of a cheesy thing, but I don't know.
That was sort of thing like in the 90s everybody Absolutely. Was talking about and saying this is the next big deal, and then not much happened with it. I wanted to get to this for fun here before we wrap things up, because now it's 2015, which if I understand it right, that was the year in Back to the Future 2 where Marty McFly went to the future.
Right.
That is correct.
And we saw
with
the
some
vision
cool kicks, by the way,
of what Absolutely. 2015 would look like.
Yes.
And so there are a lot of people who have now analyzed Back to the Future 2 to try and interpret whether or not Back to the Future 2 got it right or got it wrong. And so there have been several articles about this. Jason, how well do you think they did for envisioning 2015 in the movie? Because this came out in 85, right?
89. Honestly, I think they did pretty good. There's obviously stuff they exaggerate because it's Hollywood. But, you know, there was an article I read, things they got wrong.
Right.
Things they got right.
Right.
There were some concepts there that they did. They were like the concept of Skype. I mean, they had that sort of built in. The mobile payment credit card, kind of like Square. That was a good one that they had done. Obviously, with Google Glass, they had kind of a clunky version of that.
Phone, yeah.
Exactly.
It looked worse than Google
Glass.
Yeah,
it looked terrible.
Yeah.
Which is unbelievably difficult to achieve because I think Google Glass is just hideous, but whatever.
Exactly. Right. Oh, exactly. So I don't. I was amused. I thought there was nothing in there that was going to be redeeming that they had estimated. You know, but no. It was fun. I'm a Back to the Future crazy. So I was.
What about the hoverboards?
Enthusiast.
You remember
they have them.
The skate hoverboards.
Do they?
Yeah. They have prototypes and
the Hendo hoverboard.
Yeah, it's not a. I mean, it's not a household thing.
You're not driving it like Marty McFly was.
No, they have these things now. They're kind of like a cross between a quadricopter and a land speeder, and they're kind of in the demo modes. And they, you know, with giant fan blades, they look pretty dangerous to me. But they work. I've seen them.
Wow. They also said the Cubs are going to win the World Series. You remember they had like a 3D.
Yes.
Like a 3D marquee.
Yep.
Had a shark come off of it. And I remember it said the Cubs beat, I believe it said Miami, or was it a Miami team that it beat?
So.
Which the Cubs couldn't play a Miami team in the World Series, but there wasn't a Miami team then. And there is now, which is interesting enough. So
That's the Hollywood exaggeration that you were talking about, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. That's correct. And the shoes. The shoes are actually coming out this
year. Yeah, Nike's making
the ones with the auto laces.
But I think they were doing it because they were inspired by the movie.
Correct. I think that was part of it.
But if you have a time machine, does it matter how the future progresses? I mean, they made the future happen, so good for them, right? Like,
they did. They did. Though, I can't wait to see those demoed.
Which version of Jaws was that, by the way? It's got a ridiculous number.
13?
Yeah, Jaws 13.
Yeah. I think is what it was.
I think we only got up to 4, didn't we?
Yeah, I think that's when they stopped.
So there you go. You will post the we'll post the actual links. You can take a look for yourself and see the things that they got and they got right wrong for 2015. But it kind of makes you want to go back and watch those movies again. Except for 3. 3 was terrible.
Yeah.
One and two are good.
One and two are good.
And then it got a little jump the shark. Jump the 3D shark.
Yeah, the holographic shark.
Yeah, then the 3D holographic shark for number 3. All right, Jason, thanks so much. As always,
guys.
You can get more. This is Turbine.com. Follow Jason on social media as well and ask any questions you've got of him there as well. We'll get this up on the podcast. You can hear it at KLIN.com. 2 below right now in the Capital City. Wrap things up after this on KLIN.